home to listen to it again, won't you? I'll say yes. Yes, that's the right answer. Whether it's true or not, it's another matter, but that's the right answer. Are we on? Yeah, thank you. Just before I get into it, I just thought as we were singing, and as particularly Sue was sharing, my Sue, wherever she's gone, some of you may not quite get the connection with what we mean when we talk about that phrase, the anointing. We're saying, you know, we need to be anointed, and like, there may be some of you who are new here, don't quite understand that idea. The Bible speaks about three anointings, really, in the Old Testament. It talks about kings being anointed. Whenever they appointed a new king, Saul being the first one, they anointed him with oil. It talks about priests being anointed with oil. And it talks, you won't like the last one, it talks about the dead being anointed. But what they used to do, used to get a ram's horn and fill it with oil, and they'd pour it upon the head of the person being anointed. That's why when we read in Psalm 133, it says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It's like the oil that runs down on Aaron's beard. Aaron, who was the high priest, the brother of Moses. So we could say from those three things when we talk about anointing, we're anointed to be kings. The Bible says we are seated with him in heavenly places and all things are under our feet. So he's the King of Kings and we're seated with him. We are priests, Peter says. We are a royal priesthood, a chosen nation. We're all priests. Used to be back in the day, only certain people were chosen to be priests. But now all of us have that responsibility. And the last one, the Bible says we're supposed to die daily to ourselves and to let him in. So you're anointed to die. I don't know whether you like that one or not, but that's what it's about. We ourselves have got to let God work through us. So that's nothing to do with my sermon, but just in terms of understanding that word anointed, that may help me. If you want to talk to me afterwards about more about that, that's fine. Mark originally asked me to talk on Pentecost Sunday, which is next week. And me being greedy said, well, I need 2 weeks if you want me to talk about Holy Spirit and do some teaching on it, which he said, that's what I do. We probably need 52 weeks or 20 odd years. You probably can't exhaust it, but I've got 2 weeks. So over the next 2 weeks, I promise you, I'll answer the two questions. Who is he? That's this week. And next week, we'll look at what does he do? Who is he and what does he do? So today we're on, who is he? Pentecost Sunday's next week. It's celebrated 10 days after Jesus' ascension. If you're reading, I think it's Acts. Going from memory here, these are not in my notes. Acts 1:11, when it says, why are you looking up into the sky? This same Jesus will come back in like manner. The Bible tells us he taught for 40 days and 40 nights after his resurrection. 10 days after that, 40 plus 10, you can all work that bit out, can't you? 50. So it's usually 7 Sundays after Easter. Pentecost in the Greek simply means 50 days. We celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days. It's also called the Feast of Weeks. For some of us, I'm looking at Michael and myself, us good Catholics would know it better as Whit Sunday. Remember the Whit walks? You used to dress up in your finery and do whatever, Whit Sunday. It's funny, when Sue was driving me here this morning, she was driving out, so we pulled up at these traffic lights in Seymour Street where the bridge ends. Don't know whether any of you have ever noticed this, you probably haven't. I just looked to my right and there's a sign there that says, Carmel Pentecostal Church. We are Pentecostal in terms of our tradition and our understanding of Holy Spirit. We might not use that term anymore, but hope and experience, that's where we're at. In symbols and types, the number 50 is related to release, liberty. The year of Jubilee happened every 50 years in the Old Testament. Slaves were released, debts were cancelled. 50 is significant about being released. And our tradition as an Assemblies of God church is basically, we took a different view than the set churches, in a sense. We wanted to understand the release of the Spirit and what he gave us, didn't we? That's what it's about. We, as even today, when we say here, people are wanting the Spirit to move. We have a message in a different language that we don't understand. We're asking for it to be interpreted. We're trying to move in the Spirit. really that the 50 days and the significance of Pentecost relates to the Israelites asking to be released from slavery in Egypt. If you read the story, random Exodus, really, book of Exodus talks about them saying, we don't like these conditions in Egypt, we want to be released. And God eventually works through Moses to release them, and he says, when you get out and are released, celebrate. And they have a feast that really is, that's where the tradition of Pentecost comes from. So that even that's about release, release from captivity and slavery. Here, I'm going to be controversial. Mark's not here. I can probably get away with this. This will cause some of you to think. I've said we're talking about Holy Spirit. Why have I not said the Holy Spirit? This morning, preaching to you is the Jed Kelly. When we use that language, often, what it does in our head, it creates the idea of an object and not a person. The Holy Spirit, we say, Holy Spirit's a person. You don't say, do you? The Jed Kelly, the Mark Thomas. Sounds daft. But we tend to use that. It's just the way we've got used to it. It might be a bit different. So Holy Spirit, really, we're addressing a person. And that's important in our understanding. Again, sorry to bore you with this, but it might be important for some people. In the Greek, the word for spirit's pneuma. That's where we get the idea of pneumatic tyres. If you've heard that with air or wind in, that's a symbol often of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I have to get used to saying Holy Spirit. Ruach in the Hebrew, wind or breath, air. Read Acts chapter 2, don't we? We're all in the upper room. Like a rushing wind and tongues of fire. Symbols of Holy Spirit. It's a neuter word, which means it's neither male nor female, but in the grammar of the Greek, it used a masculine pronoun afterwards to signify Holy Spirit's a person. Okay. I mentioned last week, Yongi Cho and Christine was talking to me this morning about it. And he says in his book, this is how he starts the day. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Let's work together today, and I will be your vessel. It's a great way to start the day, isn't it? Good morning, Holy Spirit. Today I'm yours. What do you want to do with me? Who do you want me to see? What do you want me to say? That song was saying about anoint my mouth to speak. Can I say, hold on to your chairs now. Sometimes we need to be anointed not to speak. Because some of us put our foot in our mouth. I'm one of them. So sometimes we need Holy Spirit to prompt us. When's the right time? I'm getting nowhere near my text here. John 16:7. Have you got that verse for me, please? This is Jesus talking. But I tell you, I am going to do what is best for you. That is why I'm going away. The Holy Spirit cannot come to help you until I leave. But after I am gone, I will send the Spirit to you. Quite a strange thing. The disciples didn't want Jesus to go. He's trying to explain to them. They didn't, I've got to go to the cross. It's got to work that way. That doesn't sound a good act. Unless I go, Holy Spirit can't come. One of the things we've said often, and I'll say it again to underline it for you. I don't know if any of you pray like this. If you do, I'm going to tell you your prayer's wrong. If you're praying, I wish Jesus was here. He'd be limited, because physically, he can only be in one place at one time. So I often wonder, I don't know the answer to this, why on earth did he actually come to Israel? Why did he minister in Galilee? Why didn't he come to Manchester? Seems that was God's plan. But actually, while he was on earth, he was limited to the group that could get near enough to him. Holy Spirit isn't limited. Even as I speak now in other churches, Holy Spirit's moving and things are happening all over the world. Sing that chorus many years ago, didn't we? All over the world, the Spirit is moving. Wow. What a thing. So Jesus said, unless I go, he can't come. I think the old language there was talking about the advocate or the counselor in terms of the Holy Spirit. It's a whole another story. So it's important we understand, in a sense, it's to our benefit. Holy Spirit's all over, everywhere. John 14, verses 15 to 17, Jesus talking to his disciples. If you love me, you will do as I command. Then I will ask the Father to send you the Holy Spirit, who will help you and always be with you. The Spirit will show what is true. The people of this world cannot accept the Spirit because they don't see or know him. But you know the Spirit, who is with you and will keep on living in you. He is with you and he will be in you. Wow. Two sort of things sometimes difficult to get our head round. But I suppose outside and inside, he's in us. Those of us that have turned our lives over to Christ, that passage in John, we often talk about being born again. Jesus says, in understanding it, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. I'll get onto this later in terms of what that means. He will be with you and will be in you. What a promise that is. Every day we can wake up. Scripture verses that show us the Holy Spirit has personal qualities. I'm saying Holy Spirit's a person. Here's things we need to know. Mark's asked me to do some teaching. These are the teaching bits, really. He has a will. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 onwards, passage many of us as Pentecostals are familiar with. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts, it's a plural, of healings by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, languages, if you want. And to still another, the interpretation or the meaning of that language. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. He has a will. He decides what to give and who to give it to. He makes a decision. Paul says, I earnestly ask you to pray and desire the best gifts. He knows what's best for us. If you're wanting to move in Holy Spirit, ask him to give you whatever's best. He decides. He might decide this morning, well, that Linda, I'll give her a language to speak. That Jed, I'll give him something to interpret and make it known in English. That's what's going on. That's what it's saying. We might pray for people this morning, and some of us might have a gift of healing to impart. Holy Spirit decides who the gift should be. Again, I may be different, and I'm happy for people to disagree. I actually think and believe that the gifts don't reside in us. We give them away. That's what I believe. So, have I got anything? I've got some money in my pocket. So, if I have some money here, once I give it away, I need it replacing. So, it may be you have a different gift next time. As we say, for somebody who comes at the front here this morning and wants healing, without being unfair, it's not that great if I prophesy over them. What they want is healing. They need a gift of healing. Is this making sense? Romans 8, 27. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. He has thought, he understands the will of God. That's why if you're wanting to understand what's good for you, it's good to communicate with the Spirit. I'll touch on this later a bit more. He has knowledge, 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In other words, if I sat down next to you And I said to you, can you tell what I'm thinking? You'd be looking at me, gone out. I know what's in my head and heart. Each person's spirit, but the Holy Spirit knows. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So he knows from God. He can take what God teaches and tell us. So here's one for you. If you want to know about what's going to happen in the future, I reckon he knows. Because God knows everything, and Holy Spirit's God. We'll touch on that next week more. He knows. So sometimes if you've got tough decisions, maybe you need to be consulting. We've heard this morning, 1 Corinthians 2:13. He has language. He's a person. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Wow. Have you ever been in a situation, it may be, go for an interview for a job, and you're praying beforehand, if you're anything like me, give me the right words to speak. Give me the right language to say. It's amazing, isn't it, how words and how we say things can impact stuff. I think I've told you before, to my detriment, when I first became a Christian, I had a real thing of understanding my past was forgiven and I had to change. So I had this thing about speaking the truth, and I would be, probably as I am now, Joe Blunt sometimes, saying it, you know, in very raw form, because I had this real thing about not telling lies. It was a real thing God did in me. And I told you before, Jim Bowler called me one day and said, I want to sit down with you and talk to you. Jim, who was the minister here, he said, Jed, you've learned to speak the truth, but you haven't learned to speak the truth in love. And he was right, because the way we say it is important sometimes. That's why our vision statement is about our actions, reactions, and our conversation. Our conversation impacts people. What we say and how we are. It's very important. When I was working at Clarendon, it came to the point where the head of department wanted to talk to me, saying, we're not going to renew your contract. And I was a little like, oh my goodness, that's not very good. And I sat down and thought about it and thought, they haven't been very fair, really. I've not had good training, and I've not had this, and I've not had that. And I spoke to God, and he said to me, leave it. Leave it. Don't do anything. Don't cause a fuss. Just be gracious. So I thought, right, okay. So I started inputting onto the computer everything I'd written. I started the curriculum from scratch at Clarendon. They hadn't had REs for 15, 20 years, and I did it from nothing. I started putting all my notes on the computer for somebody next, thinking these are all the lessons. And the head of department came in one day and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm putting all my stuff I've done and taught on file so somebody can have the benefit. She said, I can't believe you're doing that. You don't need to do that. I said, I don't need to do it, but I think it's a good thing to do. And she said, I'm really impressed with your attitude. And I thought, that's God. Because I was all for taking her head off, you know. In my Christian way, as you do. But God spoke to me and said, no, by your attitude, show. And I said to her, my life is more than my job, I have faith. When I got made redundant from Newcastle, I said the same. They made me redundant. I said, I'm not defined by my job. Don't be defined and put in a box by what people think you are. But our attitude's important, isn't it? How did I get there? He has language. He has love. Romans 15:30. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. When was the last time you felt loved by a chair? You don't, because it's an object. He's a person. He loves. He loves. God's love has been shed abroad in our heart, by which we cry, Abba, Father, Scripture says. Lisa was praying this morning, Father. Jesus got told off, didn't he, for saying God was his father? How dare you? What a thing. But by Holy Spirit, we claim sonship. Okay, so far? Okay, my headline here on my notes is, what does this mean for us? Because Mark would want it to be practical. It's not just about teaching. What does it mean for us, this stuff I'm telling you? If we want to know God's will for our lives, we need to be communicating with Holy Spirit. What should I do? Where should I go? Some of us have real difficult situations in our lives. Illness, maybe finance, maybe relationship problems. We need to be communicating and saying, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle it? What's best? Rather than after the event saying, what should I have done? It's a bit late then, isn't it, really? If we're going through tough times and feel alone, we need to draw close and let his love loose in our lives. You heard those people, often people go around, I hope you're not some of these, nobody loves me. Somebody loves you. And you need to feel it. God has given us feelings and emotions for a reason. We're very strange as British people. We're known for our stiff upper lip. We don't show much, and us men, we're all manly. We don't have those emotion type things, do we? But we do. We need to feel love sometimes. I reckon, don't they, the three things we all need: love, acceptance, and forgiveness. We need to feel loved. If you're feeling lonely and not feeling particularly socially tied to anyone, you need to say, ask Holy Spirit to make you aware of his love for you. And if we get to that idea, we often think of Jesus and think of the cross and thinking, wow, how amazing that somebody would die for me. How amazing. Here's one for you. This is my notes. If you're tongue-tied, he can give you the words to say. If you're not sure what to say. Isn't it funny how in relationships people seize on certain phrases we've said. You said that! And people fall out with you. Thinking, I don't even remember saying that. They seize on words. Our use of language is important. Might be, if you want a very practical tip, if you've got a situation where you're not sure what to say, get a piece of A4 and write down what you think you might say and have a look at the language you've used. I think that might not be good. These days, via email, it's real easy to fall out with someone about an email you don't properly understand. Had an email from, I'm working at Thomas More at the moment, doing invigilation of exams. I've got all kids sitting GCSEs. Most exciting thing is I get to take someone to the toilet now and again. A bit boring. Those of you who've been in that context, they sit there for 2 hours and not supposed to be silent. It's just fascinating. But in that scenario, making sure you're doing the right thing and being observed to do the right thing, it's important. Okay, so how does it work, what we say? I was asked 3 questions that interview, I think. One of them was, what would you do if the headmaster came in and wanted to look at the exam paper? I said, well, it'd be all right if he gave me 20 quid. No, I didn't. I said, not allowed. I don't care who it is, they're not allowed unless it's the official head of examinations. Nobody's allowed to come in and look at the questions. So that was a good answer. And the guy nodded and said, obviously, it looks like you know what you're doing. I'd done a bit at Clarendon. It's important. What sort of things, in terms of relationship, maybe you need Holy Spirit to help you with? What you've said. What people have made of it. What they've seized upon. Might be, sometimes, and this is the hard bit, maybe you're in the right and you still need to say sorry. You know you're right, but actually, I'm sorry if the way I said it has offended you. Because you often get people, don't you, particularly Those that are non-Christian who don't understand, they're going to defend their position no matter what, and they're not going to concede. So you're the one who's got to be gracious and go and say, please forgive me. How does it work? Are we okay for time? The simplest way to understand this is to regard humanity as three separate parts. Not everybody sees this view, so I'm okay if you think differently. Body, soul, and spirit. This thing you're looking at in all its glory. For those listening by audio, you're missing out. It's flesh. It's the outer covering. Our flesh. The Latin uses the word carne, where we get the idea of carnal from. Flesh. Paul says, this tent that covers the body. That's how he describes it. So we all understand flesh, the physical bit. The soul, in the Greek, the word is psuche. It's where we get the idea of psychology. Text that Greek word. Logos, word or reason. Psuche, soul. Looking at the soul or personality. When I was at Clarendon, one of the things I was teaching on was Freud and Jung, their understanding of religion. Sigmund Freud, particularly famous for his understanding about personality and ego, which many of us are familiar with. It's easy to blur the lines sometimes between taking on board what philosophy thinks and what psychology thinks over what the Bible teaches us. So it's important. The soul, for the Greek, was the seat of personality, our characteristics, our nature. Whether it's in the genes, I don't know, but we all have particular things. Sue and I were laughing about Tommy, who's our youngest grandson at the moment. He's so determined and willful in the way he expresses himself. You can see his characteristics. He's only, what is he, two? He's not like Liam, even though they're brothers. And even in our families, I'm one of eight different characteristics. Some are gentle, some are strident, some are quiet, some are loud. Different personalities. That's the soul. But each of us has a spirit, the part of us that communicates with Holy Spirit. And it needs energizing. The Bible talks about people who are not Christians being dead to God. The spirit has not come alive. Almost, if you like, it's there dormant, waiting to be ignited by the fire of Holy Spirit. It's one of my favorite verses. I often quote it, Ecclesiastes. God has set eternity within the hearts of men. There's a missing piece, a jigsaw piece that needs to go in for the spirit to be ignited and for them to understand the revelation of God. It is a revelation, isn't it? To come to the sort of, hang on a minute, there's more to it than I thought. The spirit within us communicates with Holy Spirit. So while we have these things, when people are saying, so when we're praying, I feel I ought to do this, or I feel God has prompted me or impressed me. How has he done that? Has he come up and stood beside you? No. Holy Spirit within you has done it. Prompted you. The Bible says God is invisible. God is a spirit, John 4. Spirit within us. Hebrews 4:12, here's an interesting verse for you. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Wow. Proverbs says, as a man thinks, so he is. I've said this before, but I always find it fascinating. The president of the United States years ago, Jimmy Carter, got into trouble for saying that if a man thought in his heart about committing adultery, it was the same as doing it. Which is what the Bible teaches. We focus, don't we, so much in this world on physical stuff, the outside stuff. We don't focus on the inside stuff. But what's going on in here, with our spirit, we're either communicating with Holy Spirit or we've turned off for the day. That's when we get ourselves in trouble. We're letting ourselves make the decisions. This seems a good idea to me. Well, yeah, I don't know if it's a good idea to God, but good idea to you. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. There's a sense of belonging comes in here. Somebody was asking me, I can't remember, when it might have been when I was at conference, was asking me about when I first became a Christian and what happened and whatever. And I said, well, actually, I'm quite odd. People knew that. You've always known I've been odd, haven't you? I'm quite different. Because I travelled home with Ian Watson in his car, and he pulled up in Openshaw near where I lived and said, you've been coming to church a few weeks. What do you think now? So I said, seems okay. He said, what are you going to do about it? I said, what am I supposed to do? He said, if you think God's there, ask him to come into your life. So I sat in the passenger seat of his Mini and said, God, if you're out there, come into my life. And I know on that night, something happened in me and I became a Christian. I wasn't in church. I didn't hear a sermon. But I know that night, something happened in me. My spirit was ignited and it responded to God. And we all need that experience of having our spirit ignited. You can call it new birth. You can call it born again. I don't really mind what you call it. You need to have it. His spirit testifies with our spirit. We are children of God. So when that whisper comes from the enemy, as it often does, you're not fit to be a Christian. Have you seen what you've done there? You did that. You said that. Go, I know. I've told you before, I love it. I've got a tape, a very old tape. It's on cassette tape. It's that old. Barry Maguire in concert. Somebody asks him about being a Christian. He says, I'm not a believer. I'm a knower. I know I've been born again. That's what he says. I'm a knower. I know I've been born again. Do you know? Do you know? I'm finishing. Is it okay? In fact, we owe our existence to Holy Spirit. Genesis 1, verses 1 to 2. You all know these verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was fruitless and empty. Or formless, sorry, and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Spirit was involved in creation. Out of nothing, creating the universe. Genesis 2:7 from the Amplified Bible says this. Then the Lord God formed, that is, created the body of man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being, an individual complete in body and spirit. Breath of life, spirit was in us, waiting to be energized by God. Each of us has been created with that bit to have relationship with God. What a fantastic thing that God actually wants to communicate with us. So much so, he's giving us Holy Spirit to help us. So we're not stuck on, we've only got Jesus and that's it. I'm finishing here. But Jesus says, he will take what is mine and make it known to you. You want to know more about the words of Jesus? Holy Spirit can tell you. I'm finishing here. I hope this is of use. Here's my recommendation for today. Chris said she went home and I mentioned Yonggi Chow. She was looking for that book. I recommend you go home today and continue or begin your conversation with Holy Spirit. Some of us have stopped. We've stopped talking. We've found prayer too hard, or we can't make the time or the room. It's not the quantity, it's the quality. People use this phrase, I spent quality time. Well, how are you spending quality time with Holy Spirit? It might simply be doing what Joe says. Wake up in the morning, Holy Spirit, what's today's agenda? James says, doesn't he? You say today or tomorrow, go here or there. What do you know? Your life is but a vapor. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, are we? I believe, my own belief, it's in his hands. When the time's up, he'll shout the number. I'll say, I'm ready. Old hymn they used to sing. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When he says it's time. See, the one who created and gave us life knows when it's time. I find the book of Job very challenging, but his understanding is fantastic when it finally dawns on him. God says to him, you spoke of things you didn't understand. Now brace yourself. I'm going to speak to you, Job. Come on then, God, let's have it. Where were you when I formed the universe? Were you there? Come on, Job. You've got all this wisdom. Tell me. It's a great book, the book of Job. But I like to be in that place. Even though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Oh my goodness. To have faith like that. What a thing. I'm getting excited and I'm supposed to be finishing. So talk to the Holy Spirit. Ask him who he will he put you in touch with. Maybe you've been praying this last week and a name's come to your head and you thought, what am I supposed to do? Well, maybe you need to phone them up or send them an email or go around and visit them. God prompts us with people's names for a reason, doesn't he? Many of us, as I suppose Christians of a while, one of the most exciting books for many of us is the book of Acts. When I was at Bible College, John Phillips insisted we get a notebook and look at all the references to Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. He called it the book of Holy Spirit. Peter, I want you to go to see a guy. Yeah, where am I going? Well, it's a house in Straight Street. He's called Simon. What does he do? He's a tanner. All right, okay. There's massive information about what's going on. That's how God wants to speak to us. The woman at the well comes to see Jesus. I know what you're on about. You've had five guys and none of them your husband. How do you know that? Words of knowledge and wisdom. Knowing something. I'm finishing and I'm starting again here. I'll finish with one last illustration. When I first started at Nottingham as part of the Christian Centre, working with David Sherman, as full-time in ministry, what he did with me for the first 3 to 6 months, I think, of me being there, he sat me at the front of the church and everyone who came in, I spoke to them, I greeted them and said, can I help you? And we had a girl come in who was having some real issues and I had to call one of the guys, Robert Ferguson, who's now working at Hillsong in Sydney. I said, I think this girl's got issues with some of the wrong side of things, the dark side. And he said, well, let's pray with her. As we were praying, God said to me, it's about a ring. And I said to her, this is going to sound really stupid. Have you got a ring or anything? She said, yeah, I've got one passed on to me from my auntie who was a medium. I said, oh, that's interesting. Out of nothing, God just spoke and gave me a word. That's what we need to be working in, don't we? Holy Spirit's a person. I've got written on the top of my notes here, where's she gone, Karen? She was singing a song, which is probably a Chris Bowater song, I think. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Move amongst us with holy fire as we lay aside all earthly desires. Hands reach out and our hearts aspire. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Can I encourage you to welcome the Holy Spirit and have conversation with him? Thank you for listening.
Oh, that was great, wasn't it? So good. I mean, I don't know what I'd do without the Holy Spirit, to be fair. And, you know, even just